Matthew chapter number 5, verse 38 and 39, kind of pick it up in the middle of, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, some instruction that Jesus gave. Verse 38 begins by saying, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." Verse 39 says, "But I say unto you." You'll see that pattern repeated over and over and over in this chapter. "Ye have heard that it hath been said. But I say unto you," the first was the law of Moses, and the second is the law of Christ. Let's begin in verse 38. "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." I grieve over the fact that we have been so influenced by the world that we would think that these type of actions were signs of weakness, when in truth these are signs of strength. And they are. I've heard everybody in the world possibly can try to dance around that verse, because we feel like it's an assault on our manhood, as men especially, that if we were to follow the law of Christ here, someone were to smite us on one cheek, you know, we want to pop them. And, you know, that's the natural reaction and the natural man. But the honest truth is, we're supposed to live supernaturally, not naturally. And we want to take that one little verse number 41, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." I want to give you one little philosophy that I think will be such a blessing in your life. It has the potential of really transforming your service to the Lord. The rewards, tonight's message, the rewards of the second mile. The rewards of the second mile. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, it's hard for us as carnal people to read a spiritual book. It seems like so many times our carnality wants to get in the way. Our weaknesses want to get in the way. Our natural man wants to try to discern the things of God, and the natural man cannot discern the things of God. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to listen with that born-again spirit that we have. And thank you, Lord, for the assistance, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, when it comes to the preaching of your word, the interpretation of your word, the study of your word, and even the listening of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would assist us, please, tonight. Help us to listen to tonight's message with a spiritual ear. "And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church." I pray, Lord, that we'd listen with that ear tonight. Help us to discover this great truth, and not just to discover it, and not to just say, "Wow, that's great, and that's certainly Bible," but then, Lord, help us to have the character and the wherewithal to incorporate this in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. During the life of Jesus Christ, during his time on earth, the nation of Israel was under Roman rule. Now, there was no love lost between the Jewish people and their Roman oppressors. You know, there's the law of the conquerors, which simply means that the conquerors get to make the laws. And the conquerors in this case was the Romans, and therefore they passed whatever law they wanted to pass. As conqueror and as the conquering nation, and with the Jewish people, of course, under oppression, the Roman people treated the Jews as such. They did have a law that any Roman, a lot of times we hear about Roman soldiers, but any Roman who wished to could compel any member of an occupied nation to carry his or her burden up to 1 mile. And what that means literally is if a Roman man was coming through, and perhaps he was leading a horse, a pack horse of some kind, and he could, and a lot of times this was done just to show people that they could. You know, why did he do that? Because he could do it. And perhaps he would stop in front of a lady's house that had some children out there, and she'd say, he'd say in a condescending manner, Say, woman, send your children, those Jewish children over here. My pack horse needs a rest, and I want you to carry the burden for my pack horse for the next mile. And they were compelled to do it. And that word compels is a stronger word than sometimes we understand. That word compelled means that they were forced to do that. By law, they were forced to do it. And a lot of the Jewish people, of course, knew this. And a Roman soldier would come through and he'd say it to a young teenage boy who was perhaps working in his dad's garden. You, come here. He'd take the big heavy burden or the pack that he was carrying and say, carry this for me for the next mile. And because the Romans were known to do this, a lot of times, especially young Jewish boys, would measure out the distance from their home. And they would measure out exactly 1 mile from their home. And sometimes they would mark that spot on the road by a little pile of rocks or in some way mark it with a stake or something so that they knew when they got to that mile marker. And if a Roman soldier said, you, come here, carry my pack for a mile. And that young man would have to drop what he was doing, drop his chores, come over and help this man and assist this man. But I'm going to tell you what, by the law, by the letter of the law, he only had to do it 5,280 feet. Many, many times I can use my imagination, see these Jewish people, Jewish boys carrying that burden. They didn't want to carry, didn't wish to carry. Carry it for that mile, and when they got to that last step, that last foot, that last inch, dropping it on the ground, there, I've done my duty. I've done what the law requires. And then all grumble all the way back to their chores. And so you've got to understand that in the context of this, understanding this, when Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and by the way, the Sermon on the Mount is filled with statements that Christ made that was absolutely opposite of everything that they felt and believed. I mean, Jesus was introducing a doctrine that was beyond anything the Jewish people had ever heard. That's why they were astounded at his teachings. And he said, you begrudgingly do just what you have to do. I would like you to discover a better way to live. There's a better way to live than that. And that then is introduced to us as, let me call this, the principle of the second mile. I mean, Jesus gave an astounding suggestion to his Jewish listeners during this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He was basically telling them this: stop looking to do the minimum that is required of you. Stop that. Go beyond that. And by the way, he sets here, by the way, I think a standard that is fair but challenging. He said, and reasonable but challenging. Jesus could have said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 10. Or go with him 20. But I think Jesus understood that, you know, a lot of times if we take off in one direction and do 10 times or 20 times what's required of us in any area, that would probably make it so that we could not keep up with all the other things that we have responsibilities to do. So Jesus was, I think, very reasonable and very fair. He said, listen, let's set a different standard as Christians. And here's the standard: the principle of double duty. Now, the world is always going to have the mentality, what is the letter of the law? What is it that I absolutely have to do in order to get by or not get in trouble or not get chewed out? Where's that pile of stones? Where's that stake? I mean, where's that inch marker? And as soon as I reach that, bud, poof, I'm out of here. Christians aren't supposed to live like that. Christians aren't supposed to live that. Jesus said, go beyond that. Do at least twice of what is required by law. Go the extra mile. Let me just illustrate it very, very, with very simple illustrations. And I always like to use illustrations that involve the children and the teenagers, because if I do, all the adults say amen. And then my philosophy is, I get you saying amen, and I get you excited about all those truths, and then we put the saddle on a different horse, amen, and hopefully I can keep you saying amen, all right? It's always much easier to look down and say to the young people what they ought to be doing, so I'll start with them. But don't worry, young people, I'm just setting them up, all right? Say, the trash needs taken out. Take the trash out. So if your home's like ours, there's one main trash basket. And it's in the kitchen there, because that's where the majority of, seems like, the traffic and the trash is generated, so that's the main trash basket. Now, the letter of the law that Mom has just said is take out the trash. See that trash is overflowing, take the trash out. Well, now she just pointed to that one right there. She said, just take the trash out. Okay, so I'll come over there and I'll grumble and I'll come out to, and this, oh, this burdensome thing that this Roman mother has put upon me, you know, this dictator that has me under oppression, you know, and I have to do it because the Bible says, children, obey your parents. So that's what the Bible says, so I'm going to do that. So you huff and puff and tie it up and drag it out there and take it to wherever the trash dump is, and you come all the way back and you sit down and you make sure when you sit down you go, because you want her to know how tiring, how exhausting, how unreasonable that request was. Now, you know what? If you decide to just exist and live within that 1 mile perimeter, you're missing out on some of the greatest blessings of life. And you're limiting what you will be in life. You know, there's a world outside those mile markers that you ought to discover. And there are some rewards for people who venture out past that mile marker. Now, what does a second mile young person do? Second mile young person says, okay, yes, ma'am, I'll handle that. He goes over there and he takes that out and pulls it out of there. It's amazing. Once you pull it out, there's always more room in there than you anticipated. And you know what? There's other trash cans in the house. I think the bathrooms have one. Bedrooms have one. Now, I know that this would cost you all of 5 to 6 minutes of your precious little life. And you have so much other things to do. I mean, Square Bob Sponge Pants is coming on. Amen. You can't miss Square Bob. But you say, that's not his name. I know, but I love saying it that way. And I tell the kids, you know why they call him Square Bob Sponge Pants? It's because he's a little guy, and if you don't make it to the restroom, he's got a backup system. Amen. So that's, sorry about that. Square Bob Sponge Pants, man. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you that if you exist inside that 5,280 foot perimeter of life, you're going to spend your life exasperated, feeling sorry for yourself. I got to do this. There's a whole world out there outside of that little selfish perimeter. I mean, you pull it out, there's extra room. How long is it really going to take to just go through the house and empty the rest of the trash cans? Now, folks, that's the second mile mentality. That's exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples and giving instructions to us Christians. Hey, there's a whole great experience out there. If you get past this, what do I absolutely have to do in order to get by? You say to the young ladies, clear the table. Hey, could you clear the table for me? I got some girls, help me out, clear the table. You know, so that what they do, they clear the table. They clear everything off the table and go over and carry it on, set it on the counter. That's what she said. Bless God, that's what it says. Bible doesn't say go anything back what it says. Amen. Amen. I mean, just get to that marker and throw the dishes down. You know. Well, they got to get washed. They got to get dried. They've got to get put up. Somebody's got to do that. And you know, I know, good night, we're talking about a whole 12 to 15 minutes of your life. And your nails need done. I mean, you know, your nails have not been done since yesterday. You know, and you were just at Walmart and you found this new shade and you've got to try it. I know there's so many important, more important things to do. Mow the grass. You go out there and mow the grass, mow the grass. Okay, I'll mow the grass. The 1 mile teenage boy mows the grass, chops it up, slashes it up, halfway does it, pushes the mower in, shuts the door, walks in, falls down, and just starts acting like he's dying. The 2 mile young person goes out there and checks the oil before he starts the mower, and mows the grass, then gets the trimmer out and trims. And then if he notices some weeds in the flower bed, just goes ahead and pulls them. When he gets the mower done, he goes in, takes a broom, brushes it off before he puts it in. Now, folks, I'm telling you that we're talking about, you think, oh, but you're talking about very little extra time.
That's right.
You got you men in here that own your own business and maybe you work and have some employees, or you work somewhere and you watch other employees. You know what? You know why America's getting beat to the, you know why everything you can grab all you want to. You know why everything you pick up says made in China on it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Because we don't want to walk outside 5,280 feet.
That's right.
That's great. I mean, you apply for a job. What do I have to do to get a paycheck? What do I have to do to get a paycheck? Let me tell you something. There's good news. For you second milers, the opportunities are endless.
Absolutely.
Because in this day and age, you are going to shine like a beacon. You are going to skyrocket to the top. I'm telling you are. I'm telling you, employers are starved to death looking for somebody that has a little initiative that'll go beyond the letter of the law and say not just what did they tell me to do, but what needs to be done.
That's it.
It's called a second mile mentality. Okay? Someone throws you the keys. Hey, would you go gas up the church van? Go down there and gas it up. But you know what? While it's gassing up, it doesn't take that much extra time just to pop the hood and check the oil. And you know, the honest truth is, it probably wouldn't take an extra 10 to 15 minutes if it's filthy just to drive it on down to the car wash and pull it in there. And you know what? You might just go ahead and not turn that $2 worth of quarters in. I mean, take it for Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a second mile mentality.
Sure there is.
Well, all they wanted me to do, no, that's all they asked you to do. And you know what I'm going to share with you today, folks, is the Bible is that away. Jesus was saying, you know what, there's some things that are written in the law. And what drives me crazy is that we've got, even amongst Christianity, this all-out effort to try to get out from underneath what the Old Testament law said.
Yes.
I'm talking about the moral laws. I'm talking about the rights and wrongs.
That's right.
You know? But Jesus says, well, you've heard this, that this was written this way, but he said, I'm telling you that there's, that's just 5,280 feet. I mean, grace never allowed us to go less than a mile. Grace challenges us to go more than a mile.
Amen.
Now, there are some rewards. Now, some of you, honestly, there's some young people here. And you're sitting there and you're listening to these illustrations. And one question is resounding through your head. Why would anybody in their right mind do more than they absolutely have to? Can I share something with you? Just like you can't understand us second milers, we can't understand you.
Amen.
I scratch my head and say, why don't they just go ahead and do what needs to be done and go beyond and do it right? So if you're mystified by me, let me share something with you. I'm mystified by you. Amen. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, by the way, I'm going to give you an answer to the question why. There are some things that you will discover, some things you will experience, some things you will enjoy that can only be found in that, along that path, part of the path, that second part of the path, that second 5,280 feet that you'll never find in that first mile. Let me give you three quick rewards of the second mile. Number one, the second mile allows you to discover a higher motive for service. A higher motive for service. You see, here was the law. This Roman oppressor comes along and tells you, you've got to carry his pack. The law says you've got to carry it 1 mile. And so for that 1 mile, they are carrying the pack for one reason and one reason only. They have to. It is the law. If you take another step past that marker and are willing to go another mile, you've got to have another motive, a different motive, because it's not any, you're not obligated past that first mile. You've got to have a different reason for going past that. And folks, that's the way it is in Christian service. Listen, you can sit there and say, okay, what does the Bible say I have to do? What's the minimum things I have to do? What's the minimum things the school says I have to do? What's the minimum things that pastors require if I have this job? What's the minimum things that I have to do in order to keep a good relationship with my wife or a good relationship with my husband? What's the minimum things I have to do in order to keep mom and dad off my back? Listen, if you want to live there, you can live there. But you know what? Your motive stays. You know, I'm tired of kids at school walking and say, what do we have to do in order to, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Hey, why don't you get outside that mile perimeter? There's a lot of things out there that you get to do. Amen. But it makes you discover a higher motive for service. Let me have you go to Colossians chapter 3. I love this verse. I love it. I love it. I love it. Colossians chapter number 3. And I have you just mark one verse here. By the way, Colossians chapter 3 is just an absolutely incredible chapter. I mean that. I mean, they all are. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You know, you're not going anywhere in your devotions and just need somewhere to read in the morning. Just read Colossians chapter 3. Unbelievable. But there's this one little dinky truth down in verse number 23. By the way, it's no mistake that it follows verse number 22, the instruction of servants or employees in employee-employer relationship. Whatsoever ye do, do it how? Heartily. I love that word, heartily. As to the Lord and not to men. Listen, that first mile, if a Jewish boy carries that pack, that first mile, he's doing it for that Roman soldier. But if he takes a couple steps past her and continues on, he's got to do it for a higher motive. Yeah. Folks, listen to me. Let me help you with something. Do you know why some Christians live outside that perimeter? Because they're doing it heartily as unto the Lord. Every job they do, they're doing it heartily as unto the Lord. This isn't just some verse. This is a way of life with some people. Here's a job. Here's an opportunity. Here's a privilege. Here's something God's given me to do. Now listen, I'm not coming into this saying, you know, what's the minimum that I need to do in order to be able to check this off my list? I want to look at this job and say, how can I do it in such a way that that is beyond what would be normal? So that it's not just okay. I want to reach the echelon of excellence. I want the Lord Jesus Christ himself to look down at the end of this job. And if nobody else sees it, looks down and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow, did you see that? You know, and if you would get outside of that first 5,280 feet, you have, if you're going to go past that, you've got to have a reason that's bigger than you, a reason that's bigger than man, a reason that's bigger than just what's written down. You've got to have a love and a desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately, and realize, no matter if anybody else sees it, I don't care if it's a job that's way back here on the back side of the desert, and no man ever sees it, God will see it. And I'm doing it for Him. Man, this is good. Let me have you go back to Matthew chapter number 5. Because I want to show you something. I alluded to it a second ago, but I think this is so important. Let's look all the way back in verse number 17 earlier in the sermon here. Second mile. Rewards of the second mile. The first one, the second mile, allows you to discover a higher motive for service. Verse 17, think not that I am come. This is Jesus speaking. I love this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Oh, I wish we could find that verse. I wish we could really understand that verse. I am so sick and tired of people using grace as an excuse to break God's laws. We're studying in our Sunday school classes right now, week by week, going through the Ten Commandments. I don't know why we're wasting our time, Pastor. I mean, we're not under the law. As soon as Jesus died on the cross, he delivered us from that cruel dictator. Those things don't mean anything anymore. That's not true. You say, wait a minute, that's not true. Well, it's not true of those Ten Commandments. You think there might be a few more in the Old Testament you ought to look at? See, Jesus said, I didn't come down here to destroy the Old Testament. I'm so sick and tired. Listen, you know what will make you a liberal? What will make you a liberal is you get in this camp that has decided that because you're quote-unquote under grace and quote-unquote not under the law. And that, by the way, all that means is not under the condemnation of the law. That you have a right to turn your back on all of the do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs that God has in the Old Testament. That's baloney. That's baloney. I'm telling you, it's baloney. Amen. It is. Well, we need to revisit some things. But you notice this. What I want to share with you is this. Remember those two phrases I pointed out to you? Look at verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time. He's talking about the Old Testament law. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Now notice this. God does never, all of the commandments, every one of these is the same. Jesus says, the law, if you're going to live by the law, letter of the law, it says go this far. But I say unto you, under grace, to go the second mile. Grace never provided you a chance or an opportunity to do less than the minimum. It always challenges you to do more than the minimum. You said the Old Testament law said you just can't kill them. I'm telling you, stop being angry at them. Stop holding a grudge against them. Isn't that good? And that's repeated over and over and over, illustration after illustration. Verse number 27. You have heard of that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's what the Old Testament said. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And Jesus said, again, he's raising the bar. Grace raises the bar, not lower the bar.
Amen.
Amen.
You see that? So this whole passage is telling you, Christians, listen to me. If you've been saved by grace, been washed by the blood, yes, you are saved by grace. And no, folks, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not saying for one second that we have to keep the Old Testament law in order to be saved, because none of us can do that. But it is the standard of perfection that we all ought to be shooting for and working towards and trying for. And grace never says do less than the law. Grace always says go the second mile. The Old Testament law says, don't commit the act of adultery. The law of grace says, keep your mind pure. Amen. I want you to get that. The second mile allows you to discover a higher motive for service. All of a sudden, it's not the law, and because the law says, don't do this, okay, here's the minimum, so I'm going to try. No, grace does something different in your heart. Grace goes, listen, the law stops at 5,280 feet, and grace says, go beyond it. Carry it another mile. Go the extra mile. Boy, this would help a lot of you that want to sit there and say, well, the Bible doesn't say this, and the Bible doesn't specifically say this, and the Bible doesn't say there's anything wrong with it, and the Bible doesn't say, well, I've got an idea. Why don't you, for the sake of your testimony, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of thankfulness for what he's done for you, just go the extra mile? Folks, there's a lot of things the Bible doesn't say thou shalt specifically, but it says to abstain from the appearance of evil. And you know what? If there's any doubt, then just don't.
Amen.
You know what I worry about? I worry about the parents and I worry about the kids that say, well, when's the rule book coming out? You got a copy of the rule book yet? We need that rule book. Okay, let's get our magnifying glass out. Let's check each word. Let's check the way it's stated. Let's see if we can find a loophole or just exactly where the... And then let's go out and let's just see if we can just walk right. Those people are never happy. They are the ones that always have the stinking spirit. You know why? Because they're grumbling as they have to walk. That treacherous, unreasonable, 5,280... that these oppressors that this school have put on us. I'll tell you what, I'll walk in there and I'm throwing it down as soon as I can. Let me tell you something. You know what you'll do? You'll graduate and you'll lose every standard of conviction that you supposedly had while you were in school. You just can't take another step. Amen. That's good. See, the first mile, I believe, tests your obedience. The second mile builds your character. Build your character. Amen. Amen. Number two, rewards of the second mile. Number one, the second mile allows you to discover a higher motive for service. Number two, the second mile allows you to enjoy a higher level of influence. Can we just use our collective imaginations for a minute? Here's a Roman soldier, an old gruff Roman soldier, or maybe an old gruff Roman citizen, and he knows when he's doing it. He's doing it for the wrong reason. He's doing it for ill. You know, he just wants to show that he's dominant. So he yanks this kid over and he puts a pack on his back. Here's this people that, you know, the Romans, they worship, you know, many gods. And they went to idol worship and all kinds of pagan things. And here these crazy Jews are, and they think there's one God, Jehovah God, and they want to talk, you know, whatever. Okay, here you're walking around along with this junior high age boy, and he's burdened down under your back, but he's doing it. He doesn't say a whole lot the first mile. Or maybe he even tries to talk to this Roman soldier a little bit about God the first mile. Do you know what? He's not going to listen to him. He thinks he's crazy. But I guarantee you, you get to that mile marker, all of a sudden that kid kind of adjusts the float a little bit to the other side, gives a big smile up that Roman soldier and says, you know, you can drop it. You've done your duty. Ain't that heavy. If you don't mind, care if I just walk along with you for another mile? I don't mind helping you. Huh? No, no, really, let's go. He just takes off. Kind of catches up with the boy. Are you sure? Son, is that heavy? No, it's not that heavy. Glad I can help you. It's not that much. I'll tell you what, I'll go another mile with you. Would that be a help and a blessing to you? Yeah. He walks along for a quarter mile in silence. All of a sudden, the kid says, hey, you know, when we were in the synagogue last week, the priest, he read some astounding verses to us. Can I tell you what the priest said about our God? I think that Roman soldiers, who wouldn't have listened in the first mile, would listen in the second mile. Can I share just a little truth with you here, folks? Listen to me. Most people that are reached for Jesus Christ are not reached by one-mile Christians. I'm just telling you. Okay, what do I have to... They're not reached that way. They're reached by people who go the extra mile, and 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 go the extra mile. That's just true. You know why? Because that second mile gives you an opportunity to have influence that you would never have in that first mile. Let me have you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to show you. Why was Paul, I think, such a successful missionary? I'm going to show you why. I think he was one of the reasons. Good night. We know that Probably a whole sermon there. But can I show you one of the reasons I think that Paul was such a successful missionary? If I could give you one truth here, let me just package this one truth a little separately and give it to you. I think that there is a missing ingredient in evangelism. Let me tell you what I think that missing ingredient is. Verse number 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. Chapter 2, verse number 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Notice this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, notice this, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear to us. You know why Paul won the kind of people, won the massive, you know, I'll tell you why? Because he wasn't just there. Okay, what's my obligation? I'll tell you what my obligation is, the Great Commission. Last thing Jesus said, go in the world, preach to God. Okay, that's what I've got to do. That's the minimum. And by the way, it is the minimum. If you're not witnessing and you're not sowing, you're not even doing the minimum. But you know what? If you're doing the minimum, you're probably not seeing very many people saved. Because very few people are saved in that first mile. Well, I'll go visiting, I guess, because I'm a Sunday school teacher, and if I don't, I'll hear about it from pastor. You're not going to see very many people saved. Well, I got this bus run. I don't know how I got into this thing. I should have never took it in the first one. Okay, let's see. Tell you what, I'll run through and see what regulars I can. If I don't catch the rest home, well, you know, that's just there. You're not going to see that thing grow. I'm just telling you folks that most life-changing decisions are made with a Christian walking beside an unsaved person beyond what they ought to have to go and do. And that's just a fact of life. Amen. You want to reach people for Jesus Christ? Go the second mile with them. Go that second mile with them. Number three, we'll finish up here. The second mile allows you to discover a higher motive for service. Number two, the second mile allows you to enjoy a higher level of influence. Number three, the second mile allows you to experience a new depth of inner joy and personal satisfaction. The second mile allows you to experience a new depth of inner joy and personal satisfaction. You know, I think one of the things that I guess I'm saddened when I see people who are always just trying to find where the line is and do the minimum, is that I realize that probably the thing they don't understand is how much personal joy they rob themselves of every day of their life. You know, there's a wonderful thing that's been built into us. Can I share just a little nugget of truth that I think's taught in the creation story? We're made in the image of God. The end of every day of creation, God stopped, didn't he? And what did he do? He looked back and he saw what he had created. And he said what? Man, that's good. Buddy, I did a day's work. Made them sun, stars, and moon. Woo! I'm telling you what, that looks good. And there's, you know what? Inside of us, because we're made in the image of God, inside of us, there is a built-in personal reward every time we do a job at the level of excellence. And I'll tell you this too. There's a built-in self-disappointment when we know we just did the bare that we needed to do to get by. Why do some people walk around and they just never seem to be happy? And they don't have, we use this word a little self-esteem, but you know what? It's out there everywhere. People just don't feel good about themselves. They're hardly ever happy. It just seems like, you know, it seems like you got to spend more time. And I'm talking about in God's family, walking around with your little air pump. There's another one's deflating. Oh no, there's another one. Hold on, try to hold on, okay? You know why? You're living in that 1 mile perimeter. You live in that 1 mile perimeter, you know what? You're never going to feel good about yourself. You're always going to walk around with this, well, I'll tell you what, the burden of all these, I just can't believe some of the things they say. I just can't believe, you know, because all you want to do is try to see what the minimum is and just barely get there. And folks, let me tell you something. Jesus said, I didn't intend you to live that way. Some of you kids were saying, why? I can't believe mom asked me to empty the trash. I've never gone beyond. Why does he think that it's a good thing to take that thing? Why is that? Do it once. Do it once. Do it once. There's some things that start going off in your heart. And I'm telling you, if mom never said anything about it, if dad never said anything about it, you'll know. Get a little taste of that kind of life. I mean, I'm telling you what, I'm going to tell you something. I'd feel ashamed of myself. I'd feel like a failure in life. If my whole plan as assistant pastor here was to say, okay, I'm going to figure out exactly, I mean, I'm going to have him write it down. Exactly what my jobs are around here and what is expected of me and what pastor was. And I'm not going to have this, you know, because I'm going to have it written down. I want to know where the line, and you know what? That's what I'm doing. And if you ever asked anything about me, oh, that wasn't on the original list. How'd your day go today, honey? Oh, you won't believe how it went. The dictator put another job on me. Oh. You know what? I would be blaming him because I'm miserable, but I'm not miserable because of him. I'm miserable because of me.
Amen. That's right.
And you walk in every day and you say, what you got for me? Well, I've got this, this, and this. Okay. I take these things. I look at them and I say, you know what? I'm going to surprise him. Now be careful. Careful trying to surprise mom and dad. Some of you, there's no juniors in here. Some of you guys are younger than juniors, you know, and you say, well, dad told me to go out and clean out the car, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to drive it down and wash it. Don't do that. Some of you teenage girls, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to check the oil. Don't do that. Be like Doris Lee's daughter.
Sue Ann.
Her dad, she's going to borrow the car one day, and her dad, she hollered up. Her dad said, okay, you can take the car, but you check the oil. If it needs oil, you put a quart in it. She went out there and pulled the dipstick out and checked it, and sure enough, it was a quart low. And we sat in there, never did hear the car start. I better go check on her, and he hollers out, what are you doing? Putting oil in the car. Why is it taking so long? You know how hard it is to get a whole quart of oil to go down that little dinky hole?
That's right.
The dipstick holes. He's trying to drip it, a drip at a time. That dipstick. Some of you aren't laughing because you have no idea that she's doing anything wrong. That makes sense to you. You know, sometimes going that second mile makes those in authority have to go a third and a fourth and a fifth mile, you know. So I'm talking about using wisdom here, but at the same time I'm saying, you know what? If pastors asked me to do this, wouldn't it be so much better if I just go ahead and go beyond and do more than he thought and take more of a burden from him and go the extra mile and not just once I get into this say, well, now wait a minute, here's the stopping point. He told me when right in front of you there's more to do. Right in front of you there's another need. Just go ahead and do it. And you know what? If you'll do that every day of your life, you won't have to fake this. Because you'll feel it in here. There is a wonderful life found outside that 5,280 feet perimeter. There is a wonderful life. And that wonderful life is there for the second mile Christian. Now God's being reasonable here. He's being reasonable. I think if I was a young person here, I'd say, you know what I'm going to make as a standard of life? Jesus said, go one. If they ask you to go one, go two. He just basically said, do twice as much, be twice as good, go twice as far as what the world would go. I don't think that's a big deal. I'll be honest with you. I can't understand why Christians shouldn't be twice as productive, twice as good, twice as efficient as the world. Because the world does it to please a man or to get a paycheck, and we're supposed to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Go the extra mile. Mow the ditch. Well, he told me to mow the ditch. He didn't say pick up the trash in the ditch. He just said mow the ditch. Well, there was just four or five big pieces of trash in the ditch. Now there are 16,000 little pieces of trash in the ditch. Are you listening to me, folks? Are you hearing this? Are you getting this, young people? Honestly, are you getting this? You know, when an assignment's given to you at school, I'm telling you, you say, well, I know, you can act as if it's not cool to do well in school, it's not cool to do the best, but I'm going to tell you, an assignment's given to you in school, do you sit there and figure out how you can do the absolute minimum? And you know what the honest truth is? You'll spend more time trying to do less than you would have if you'd have done more. You'll spend more time at your desk sitting there feeling sorry for yourself, trying to figure out how to do as little as possible than if you'd have just had a big smile on your face and said, all right, here we go, I'm going to learn something, I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you what, teacher's never going to have seen a report like I'm going to turn in. You know, 1,000-word essay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, they turn it in. Why did it take so long? Well, I had to go back through and reword some things because I had 1,007. I had to get rid of 7 words. But that is exactly how some folks live their lives. There's some rewards by going that second mile. Go find them. Go find them. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, just speak to our hearts, God. I think this has great spiritual application, but Lord, I also think that this has incredible practical application. I think our country is dying for a lack of second mile citizens. I think our workforce is dying. Our economy is dying for lack of second mile employees and employers. Lord, I have no doubt that the Church of Jesus Christ is dying for lack of second-mile Christians. Lord, you've never asked one thing of us that was unreasonable. You've never asked anything of us that wasn't for a higher purpose than perhaps it seemed to be on the surface. And Lord, even though you wouldn't have had to do this, your way is to richly reward obedience. I pray, Lord, that by faith we just take a step here tonight. I'm talking about young people that absolutely could transform their life, their attitude, their productivity. It could be different from the inside out if they just throw away this one-mile mentality. This what's the minimum mentality. This where's the line mentality. And just decide, you know what, I'm just going to go that extra mile for God. Not for a preacher, although I hope it encourages him, not for the principal, not for the teachers, not even for mom and dad, even though I hope that they get a blessing. But as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. Lord, I pray, dear God, for us adults, Lord. It's easy for us to just fall into the same slothful thinking that is so prevalent in our society. I pray, Lord, that there would be a revived employee show up at every job place tomorrow. That they would say, what in the world's got into him? Lord, we wouldn't be trying to see how much work we get out, but how much extra we can do. And Lord, within that second mile journey, Lord, thank you for all of the rewards and all of the things we learn and all of the pleasures that we enjoy. Give us the strength and the willingness to do, Lord, what's right, to obey this simple command. If they compel you to go 1 mile, go 20.